I sometimes find that I do my best work early in the morning, in the dark. If I get to bed at a decent hour, which has happened lately, mostly, I like to be able to wake up early, and in the cover of darkness, I can accomplish a lot of work. When I'm able to wake up early, which can be hard for me, I get some good reading done at the beginning of the day. I can get some writing done and some studying in. Maybe do some of my praying and devotion and manage my own personal responsibilities. Look ahead, send out emails, do a lot of things early in the morning under the cover of darkness. The nice thing about it is that when you get up early, I feel like I can just accomplish more things at once. Probably because there's no one to bother me. There's not a whole lot of people that do get up really early. And even if you do, it's kind of a common courtesy not to call or see if someone's awake, you know? I was taught that it's rude to try to get in touch with someone before or after dark. So I really like the early morning because I can kind of focus on what I need to get done. And no one will bother me. There's not really anyone around. Unfortunately, there is a great temptation when it comes to doing things in the dark. Because the darkness offers for us and so many opportunities to do things in secret, to do things hidden. The really nice thing, though, about the darkness is that I can get away with things, a lot of things, because there's no one else around, no one to bother me. It's not like anyone's going to know, you know. Only I know. And in the dark, I can have more chances to maybe sneak around, to hide, to separate myself from others, from the public eye, or at least escape the gaze of other people. You can do a lot of things when you're hidden in the dark. And no one needs to know about it. Because what I do in the dark, no one can see me. No one can find me. I think Nicodemus, of course, had maybe a similar thought. Nicodemus is one of the only is a character in John's Gospel, and that's the only time he appears. He doesn't appear in the others. But I think he had the same thought when he went to visit Jesus. We don't actually read about him here, but in our lesson from John chapter 3, it's who Jesus is talking to when he makes that gospel in a nutshell phrase, you know, for God so loved the world. He's telling this to the fella Nicodemus. Nicodemus pops up a couple times in John's gospel. He doesn't really have a prominent role, but here is his probably biggest moment, is in John chapter 3. And Nicodemus goes to see Jesus at the beginning of chapter 3 when it was night, when it was dark. Because you see, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Jews. And as you know, Pharisees weren't really the biggest fan of Jesus when he was walking on earth. But Nicodemus had some questions, had some thoughts. And so he goes to Jesus in the cover of darkness so the Pharisees won't know he's actually talking to him, so he could be hidden and in secret. And Nicodemus goes, he says to Jesus, you know, we all know that you must be the Son of God, or you must come from God because you do these signs and we can't explain it. And so they enter a conversation in the cover of darkness. He couldn't actually approach him, though, during the light, because then the Pharisees would know he's talking to him. But he comes looking for answers still, looking to speak to Jesus. And in their conversation, Jesus tells them that, well, no one is able to just enter the kingdom of God. No one is able to participate in the reign of God unless one is born again. And Nicodemus has no idea what this means. Maybe for us, we probably can see that as baptism, you know, water in the Spirit. God claims his people through the waters of baptism, makes them into his people, brings them into this kingdom. But for Nicodemus, this all sounds confusing and new. And so Jesus seeks to explain it, but it still is also cryptic for Nicodemus. Until Jesus kind of just tells him flat out that we speak of things we know and we give witness to what we see. But if you don't receive the witness spoken on earth, how could you possibly receive what is revealed spoken from heaven? For no one has ascended to the heavenly places, Jesus says, but only him who comes from the heavenly places, the Son of Man, has made it known. And that's when we reach our text today, from John 3 with 14. And we hear those famous words everyone knows, the ones you see at football games, and John 3:16. It's a gospel in the nutshell. It's how people see themselves evangelizing, is by saying these simple words. And it comes from that passage from Numbers that we read today. For just as Moses lifted the serpent, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. And for God so loved the world. It still doesn't click for Nicodemus, though. In the same instance, though, that we hear the gospel spoken to Nicodemus, a Pharisee who comes to hear from Jesus in the dark, we hear Jesus say those words at the end. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. I sometimes wonder what Nicodemus thought when he left, because that's where it ends. We don't hear Nicodemus till later. When he heard those words, when Jesus says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish." And then at the same time says, "Those who love evil walk in the darkness, not in the light." And here's Nicodemus coming to see Jesus in the darkness. And John seems to think that's pretty important for us to know. I think it's because the darkness has its appeal. There's something comfortable about the darkness, something safe about it. I know for me, after a long week, a long day at work or something, after putting forth a huge amount of effort in my responsibilities, when the sun starts to go down, I know I can start winding down. Dinner's been eaten, the dishes are put away, and maybe I can grab my favorite beverage and turn on my favorite show or pick up a good book and let the darkness slowly take me in as I just get ready for that nice, comfortable bed that awaits me. Same could be for you. The cares of the day are put to rest and put to wait till tomorrow, because as the night comes in, you want to rest, be comfortable. No one's working at night. You're tired. Everyone's tired. You don't want to bother anyone when the dark has come. This is the time when we get comfortable, until we're able to hide and snuggle under our covers and let the darkness further lead us into a relaxing rest. The darkness has its appeal, because in the dark, no one will bother you, and you can do what you want. The nice thing about the dark is that you're hidden from other people. Yet the unfortunate reality about the darkness is that you can't see anyone else either. And we're all too familiar with that feeling of the unknown. Because as much as the night routine can bring us so much comfort and relaxation from the cares of the day, it's also in the darkness of the night when we lay in our beds and then we hear the wolves cry. We become suddenly aware that we have zero control of what's going to happen over the night, what happens in the dark. And you have no idea what else is happening at night around you. It's only for so long are we able to deceive ourselves into thinking that everything is hunky-dory and no one knows what you are doing in the dark. And perhaps the perception that we have more control than we actually do. But then it might occur to you, and it always happens in the dark. What else is going on in the dark? And then you realize you don't actually know. because he can't see further than, well, the hand's right in front of you. Thankfully, I guess, very rarely do we experience true darkness. The increase of artificial light since the 19th century kind of makes it easy for us to make it eternally day, even when it's dark. When the dark basement frightens us, we can flick a switch and know that and see everything going on, not worried about who's down there. But I think it's appropriate to call this light artificial light, because it's not the real thing. We like to think that the progress of our technology and our learning and our wisdom that's ever increasing and the access to information that we have has shed some light on things we never knew and increased our livelihoods in a way that we now have more control over than we ever did before. And so we might keep the darkness at bay. And it no longer scares us the same way. And it's true, we've seen a lot of good things come from it, from the artificial light. Yet the light is still artificial. And we still remain in the dark. During those times when those blackouts occur, we become keenly aware how little we actually see in the dark. And things like a pandemic, death, maliciousness from others, the darkness overwhelms us again. And we seek to take back control, to perhaps think if we can just shine a light on this situation, then it'd be obvious to us. But we're still in the dark. Because the earthly reality is that we have little control over what we can actually do in the dark, or what happens to us in the dark. Nicodemus had trouble understanding Jesus Christ's words because he sought to meet Christ on his own terms, within his control. Nicodemus, even though we might say he's a good Pharisee, one of the good ones, he still approaches Jesus as if he could understand him his own way. Because Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the cover of darkness. Nicodemus doesn't come out to the Lord in faith, but he comes with skepticism. And in the darkness, we seek to defend our self-deceptions and meet God with our own convictions and on our own understandings in our own terms. But faith is more than a good man's sincere religious interest in Jesus, even if he is a teacher from God. Jesus doesn't really care about how sincere or genuine your interest is in him. To believe, as Jesus tells Nicodemus, is to let God be God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever trusts in him will not perish. Faith is the desperate reach for life in the midst of death. Faith is letting the light shine when all that seems to be around you is darkness and we want to hide in it. The light, unfortunately, shows us who we truly are, as broken, unworthy, self-deceived, lacking any control over any situation, and being wicked people. The true light shows that we never actually have any control in the first place, and that we've never had anything figured out as much as we thought. The light shows that we have no control in the dark. And that's incredibly uncomfortable, because it means we have to recognize that we have no control over life and death. That we can't just let the cares of the world be lost in comfortability, especially comfortability of our bed. But that God, who allowed even snakes to ravage among the people of Israel, is the only one to turn to. He's the only one for you. And he has the last word. And he chooses to show himself in the most unreal and unlikely ways. For Moses, in Numbers, it was a snake and a pole that saved the people of Israel. For us, it is the Son of God crucified on a cross. What appears to be the most dark and most dismal place is the source of light and goodness. Because it's at the cross that God is revealing his full work for his creation. That the light itself shines forth and becomes the brightest and clearest for us. The crucified Christ is the light of the world for you. For God loved the world that he gave his only Son for you, so that you would not perish in the darkness, but that you would trust in him, and you will have life in him, and you will see clearly. Nicodemus pops up a couple more times in John, not a terrible amount. If you're not paying attention, you might not even notice him, really. But Nicodemus is, for us, that devout religious man who lacks faith in the Lord and seeks to remain in the dark. But after following Jesus through the Gospel of John, we find Nicodemus appear one last time after Jesus Christ's crucifixion. In John 19, Joseph of Arimathea asks to take Jesus and bury him in a tomb. And here, while it was still day, Nicodemus comes along to help and bury the Savior. He brings a mixture of aloe and myrrh to properly bury the Lord. The darkness can be either the world we live in or the world that lives in us. It's frightening, awakening, and troubling to us in the middle of the night. But Jesus is the light of the world. And with him, there is no darkness, because in him, the love of God is truly known. Jesus enters the darkness because he alone has the power to turn darkness into light. When he hung upon the cross, the sky turned dark. God's wrath and judgment fell on him, and Jesus bore it for you. He bore it and he buried it away in his tomb, so that all those who trust in him might come out of the darkness and live in the light. For Jesus did rise from the grave, and he rose from the dead to assure you of the light that he brings to you, that you live in the light. Yes, the darkness will remain for a time, but as you release control and let the light of Christ dwell in you, God will bring darkness to light. Continue to let the light of Christ live in you, and you will have life in him. In the name of Jesus, amen.